Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smoke & Hits Records and Globocorp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hello!
Hello!
Greetings! My American friend, hola!
Yes! Que pasa, Rufus?
Muy bien. I'm not sure if that's the correct answer, but that's the one I'm given.
Excelente.
So how are things in the States? I'm sure much has changed since I've been gone.
Yes, you're missing out on a lot of what's going on here in the States, Rufus, that's for sure. Gas is up to $3.50 a gallon.
Wow. Sounds like it's actually down then.
Actually, it is. It's down to $3.50 is what I meant to say.
Still, it's just a friendly, more gentle rape.
They heard you were leaving with, and your Dodge was no longer going to need gas, and the price of gas went down due to demand.
Yeah, you know, not too long ago, I dug up an old picture from Hypersloth's previous heyday. The one that predates our current heyday. And it's, I don't remember what the picture was, but the background was a gas station and the price of gas was like 93 cents.
Yeah, I can remember when I was in high school, gas was like 75 cents.
God damn.
And a pack of smokes, honest to God, this is when I tried to pick up smoking. Vantage Ultralights for all you people out there that are interested. It's like smoking a tampon.
Used or a new one?
Good question. I don't know. I haven't smoked a new tampon in a while, so probably a used tampon.
You've been slumming it, just smoking used tampon.
Right. I just pick up the tampons off the street and smoke what's left of them.
Jesus Christ.
But, yeah, a pack of cigarettes back then was like a dollar and a nickel or something.
Gee whiz. That's back when they were good for you, though.
Right. Well, probably, you know, I tried to pick up smoking, and I had like one cigarette out of this pack. I remember to this day, and it was so – it just turned me off so much, I took the whole pack of cigarettes and threw them out the window of the car. But that's when littering was no big deal.
Yeah, that's true. That's when smoking and littering was absolutely not a problem.
That's when, you know, before that Indian guy with the tear who made me sad after watching Fat Albert.
That's right. I forgot about that. I think that Indian was a chain smoker, too.
He went on to die of lung cancer. Were you going to say they all are? Because they're all alcoholics, too, right?
That's right. That's the only way I was able to smoke. I could never smoke sober.
Luckily for me, I'm like 125th Cherokee, so I'm good.
Excellent. Excellent.
So tell me, what's it like down there in Central America? I hear that you had, well, I actually saw on your Facebook that you had a monkey jump on your boat or two monkeys. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it was cool. That was a tour. You know, we were walking through the Central Park down here, and a guy came up to me and said, hey, you want to go on this tour? And I said, yeah, let's hook it up, because we hadn't done a lot of touristy shit, because we've actually been kind of taking care of logistics. And so we went on this tour, and it was in Lake Nicaragua, which is like it's like a 10th largest lake in the world, whatever. It's fucking huge. But there's like 300 islands in it that were created thousands of years ago, and this volcano exploded. So now there's all these islands, and this tour was just a tour through the islands, kind of pointing out, well, this super rich motherfucker owns this island, and that's his badass house, and here's this other guy who's worth more than you and your whole family, and he's got a super cool house. And a lot of the islands had for sale signs on them. You could actually pick up an island for about $100,000. But
really?
One of them had.
Sounds like my thing of living in Town Lake might have to move down there to Lake Nicaragua.
Hey, we'll be happy to have you. We could do the show live from the island.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to get down there and check out Nicaragua sometime. So I didn't mean to interrupt your story. Go ahead and tell us about more about what you were doing.
No, it was just one of these islands had some monkeys on it that they basically put the monkeys there like 10 years ago to make the tour even more interesting. So you pull up to this island and you can feed them and they have a little bowl of food or whatever. And I think it was like five. I probably so. I bet if you gave them a cigarette, they'd know exactly what to do with it. But one of them jumped down in the boat. And, well, I tell you what, I think on this day, that one could have used a tampon. It was a female, and I'd never seen monkey genitalia up close. I don't know if she was presenting or if it was some sort of defense mechanism, but there was something weird going on down there. It was best to keep your eyes on the face because it had a cute face. Everything below the belt was a little creepy.
You were turning it off.
That was it. That was it. The rich American with the food.
Hey, do you remember when we were first working on our first song? You had a song, and I know that one of the verses was actually about a monkey wearing monkey slacks. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, it was called Monkey Love.
That's right, it was.
I remember. Oh, yeah. I'm going to the zoo, going to get me a monkey. Oh, God. I'll have to think about it, man. Yeah, I do remember that.
Give me some time. I'll remember some of it, too. I just had to remember that. I just remember that one verse, but now it's coming back to me.
Yeah, there you go. It was I do this a lot, even to this day. Like, I get annoyed with the radio, so I'll drive in silence. And when I do that, for some reason, I end up coming up with, like, really inappropriate gangsta rap. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but yeah.
We need to play that rap for the folks that haven't heard it yet. That's pretty hardcore stuff.
I can remember the first two lines. It was going to the zoo, gonna get me some monkey, cause I'm a nature lover, a zoology flunky. Gonna take him home, make him wear some little pants. Then my girl was coming over. I gotta remember. It was about.
That's about putting on his monkey slack.
Yeah, well, there was monkey slacks because he was dressing the monkey up because his girlfriend was coming over with her monkey and they were going to make him do it and they could watch.
Right. Okay, now that part of the song I did not know about, or I never put it together, but you were going to voyeuristic monkey love, huh?
Yeah, he was dressing him up for like a hot date with his girlfriend's monkey.
Now, have you told any of this stuff to your therapist?
No, I have not. For the authorities.
I'm feeling a breakthrough. Breakthrough, people. We're having a breakthrough here.
Is thinking about monkeys having sex inappropriate? Is that wrong?
Depends on how much of your body is shaved.
What if I'm shaving while I think about it?
That
and
is
making monkey
wrong.
Sounds.
That's definitely wrong, unless you're smoking. Then it's actually kind of sexy.
Anything sexier when you're smoking. Brought to you by Campbell.
So anyways, go ahead with your story. So Lola and Carlos, I think, were their names, correct?
That was two of the monkeys. There were other monkeys. I don't know their names. That was about it. That was the apex of the tour. And then
was
we came
Carlos
back. It was really cool.
Junk? Was Carlos Flash's junk?
I didn't see any Carlos's junk. I think he was probably jealous.
So obviously they go there and feed these monkeys, or how does that work? I mean, it's just like go out to Monkey Island and they don't fend for themselves, do they?
Well, there's a bunch of fruit trees and bugs and crap, I guess, they eat. But, yeah, most of the stuff they get is from the never-ending flow of tourists that come by in boats.
So tell us about La Caldaza, or I'm pretty sure I butchered that, but how was the 6th Street of Granada?
It has been great every time we've gone, which has been basically every night, and it's just a block and a half away from the house, so I'll probably walk up there later anyway, because there's also the closest convenience store on that strip. But it's all geared toward tourists. So you have O'Shea's, which is like an Irish bar, and you got a bunch of
that
other.
That makes a lot of sense.
Sort of, yeah. Other, you know, sort of themed bars, but they're all cool. And most of the seating is like outside in the street. And
you
know, beer is super
yet?
Cheap. There's not one here that I know of. I think there's fast
Burger
food
King.
Joints in Managua. I don't know that there's any here other than local ones. Like there's some place called Tip Top that's right by the square, and I think it's kind of a regional chain, and they're basically like rotisserie chicken junk food.
How long before you start Rufus's sub shop?
Now, that's not a bad idea, because I am thinking long term about like investments to make and shit while it's all ripe for the picking, you know? And that's not a bad idea. I mean,
I agree 100%. If they can have an O'Shea's, you can sell a freaking cheesesteak, I would imagine. Or at least an Italian hoagie.
I got to say, dude, that of all the places we've eaten here, no place has been bad. No restaurant. It has all been super fucking awesome and super cheap. And in fact, I'm very surprised to say that I probably had one of the best pizzas I've ever had the other night at this pizza place. It was just fucking mind-blowing.
Because
so,
it's made with love.
I don't think there is a sandwich shop down here. It's not like that, anyway. You know, you can get
anybody,
a turkey club anywhere.
Has anybody called you gringo?
Not that I've
Pinche
heard.
Gringo.
They probably whispered it. What does that mean?
Pinche? It's like bitch. You know, like,
I'll remember that for the next argument with my wife.
So are you trying, are you surviving on your Texican? Are you finding it necessary to speak Spanish, or is everybody down there pretty much speak English?
A lot of them don't speak English, or they speak very little, except for like the guys who are like a business owners and stuff. But once you figure out how to order food and get a taxi and pay for stuff, functioning is not a problem at all. Yeah, we were set by like day two. It sucks not being able to really have a conversation with people because, you know, people will try, especially if you're hanging out on the strip up there. You know, people are really friendly.
Two words for you, Rufus. Two words for you.
Yes.
The Shining.
The Shining?
Yes. Isn't that what happened to Jack Nicholson in The Shining because he went crazy because all he had to talk to was his wife and his son?
Yes. So I better learn Spanish quick.
I'll warn Roberta and Levi.
Okay, great. That reminds me, I need to go buy an axe.
Oh, you mean your villa didn't come with an axe already?
It came with a guy who carries an axe and just chops whatever I point out.
Awesome. He can be like that old black guy. With that in The Shining.
That's right. What is crazy is our place that we're in now, we had the option of it coming with a security guard just for the house, right?
Oh, my
Except,
God.
So the guy would show up at like 6 p.m. and sleep on the floor in the living room until 6 a.m.
Okay.
No.
Now, why would they think you needed a security guard?
Because I think – I really wondered about this because I've seen mentions of it everywhere, and it keeps kind of coming up with people. But I think a lot of it has to do with – because this is a vacation rental, right? I think a lot of it has to do with putting visitors at ease who – you know, are freaked out that, holy shit, I'm in Central America. Because all the local people are really cool. The crime rate's, like, super fucking low. This neighborhood is, like, under development. So, like, across the street are some fixer-uppers, but to either side of us are, like, super wealthy fucking individuals. So
now, are they foreign like yourself, or are they like, regular people? Like, Nicaraguans?
I don't know about the people to the left of us. The people to the right are they're from here.
Now, tell me a little bit about Tona. What's a six-pack of Tona go for American?
You know, I actually haven't done the conversion on that. And the way you buy beer here is a little different, too, because they don't have like
they milk it from the beer goat.
Yeah, her name is Tonya.
Is she living inside of your house by now?
Yeah, every house comes with a beer
suckle.
Goat.
You just sit and suckle from the beer goat.
I lay on the floor watching TV, and I summon the goat to come stand over my face, and I just reach up and grab a teat between my teeth.
Suckle her beer goat. Okay.
Okay,
so anyway,
there's a song.
How exactly?
Tony the beer goat. That's it.
La cerveza es comida que está para que es.
Oh, nice, nice. Oh my God!
Well, I mean, you're gonna have to do it eventually. You're gonna have to sing "Beer is Food" in Spanish. That's part of the chorus for it. So I've got that figured out.
I would love to record a version of that. That's like actually not just the words translated, but even do it like Tejano style with an accordion.
Right.
You know.
I actually got. I sent you an email
trumpets.
While back saying that we should do it conjunto style.
Oh, you did? Okay.
That's
well,
like,
I'm totally on board.
Yeah, that's like okay, how do you buy beer there? Do you have to send in a Nicaraguan to buy it for you?
No, I'm capable. But there's not like one central, like in America you've got like a Tiger Market that everybody in the area goes to, or maybe, you know, an HEB or whatever the equivalent in Indiana is. And those exist. There's two major grocery stores. But not a lot of people have cars to drive around, and the roads were built in the 1700s, so they're not even really made for cars. So most people walk or ride a bike, or there's a shitload of fucking motorcycles. So there's like literally almost on every street, at the end of every street, there's a little convenience store that sells.
What's the name of your convenience store?
You need. Actually, I don't know the name of it. It's the one on La Calzada. There's actually one before that as well, but they don't have beer. So you basically
you won't be going
they only
there,
sell. No, I'd pass it up every time. But they only sell the type of shit that they know that you can like walk around with. So they don't have like a 12 pack or even a 6 pack of beer. All their beers are broken out individually. But one thing that they do that I'm actually enjoying right now is they sell what's called a grande Tonya, which is it's a big beer, like your daughter says you drink. But it's a liter. It's a liter of beer in one bottle. And so you can walk up there, load up with 3 liters of beer, and then just drink it out of a glass. And you can order those at a bar, too. Give me a Grande Tonya, and they'll give you a gigantic beer in a cup.
So are they cold?
Yeah. Well, you can buy them off the dry goods shelf, but they have refrigerators too, so of course I usually get them cold.
Are you drinking Tonya right now?
I am almost done with a liter of Tonya right now.
So would that be a Tonya Grande? Do they call that a Tonya Grande?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Do they really? I'm just guessing. I mean, do they really call it the Tonya Grande?
Yeah, because whenever you order, if you just go up to the bar that sells the liter and you say, you know, I want a Tonya, they'll say Grande Tonya or Poquito, no, big or small.
So do you see a lot of people drinking the Poquito? Is everybody pretty much on to the Grande?
It's a mix. You don't see people, like, chugging the big beer directly out of the bottle. You usually see people that are actually pouring it in a glass. It's just, I think, saves you a trip to the bar, you know, especially whenever you can't just grab a fucking case of beer and go home with it.
So do they recycle there?
Yeah. The streets are very clean. They've got people that actually come around with carts picking them up, but they also, like, you know, any other place, I guess, they pay. You can take, like, plastic and bottles to places that'll pay you to recycle them, so there's, you know, your average homeless guy or dude
so
just kind of
saying,
roaming around picking shit up all the time.
There's going to be a lot of homeless people hanging outside of your residence there waiting for their Tonya Grande bottles to take and be recycled.
Yeah, I can see them right now. They're
able to support a small family. support his whole family on this. You won't need a security guard. You'll have your Tonya Bottle family living out by your trash can. Not Mr. Rufus. No, Mr. Rufus.
Yes. I've drank a shitload of Tonya since I've been here. It's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I actually read about it on Beer Advocate to see what Tonya was like. And, you know, because the people on Beer Advocate, you know, are a little, I guess, more highbrow about their beers, they didn't get the best remarks. But one guy did say, you know what, it's not the kind of beer I would drink. There's nothing wrong with the beer. It's totally good. And I could see if you were on vacation or somewhere and this is all they had, he'd drink the piss out of it, he said.
Yeah, well, I've never been one to drink a beer for flavor. I've got an end goal in mind, and taste does not matter.
It's a sport. It's a sport.
Yes, I drink for sport. That's right.
For those about to drink, we salute you.
Indeed.
So, big plans for this evening. What's the usual day like down there in Nicaragua? I mean, so far, I know you've probably been busy doing a lot of stuff, but seems to be pretty relaxed down there, really.
Yeah, it's super relaxed. It's very chill. Most of the Americans that are here, or non-Nicaraguans, are either like retired people. There's kind of, I've picked out a few different groups. There's retired people who are like, well, let's just go fucking live in Nicaragua. Then there's people like, I'll just say like me and you, who are like our age group, and they are, you know, a bit liberal-minded. They're kind of open to
adventure and shit. I think they call those people
adventure
convicted
and shit.
Felons.
No, I'll get to that. like on a scale, they're hippies, basically, in some form or fashion, whether they're like full-on hippie or they're guys like me who is a hippie at heart, but you can't tell. So there's another group. Then, yeah, there is a group that you can't tell what they're up to, but they're obviously, you know, maybe things didn't go so well with the IRS back home, so they're kind of here now. And they're easy to spot because they're like, I mean, I'm sure they're nice guys, but they're older guys that just kind of are there with other older guys, and they're all drinking rum and beer, but it's not like they're with their retired spouses or anything, you know? And maybe I'm totally off base and just overly suspicious, but I think there's retired people, young, hippie, yet upwardly mobile people, and then people trying to get away from something. I think those are the three groups. Oh, and another group is like a temporary group, which is just tourists that are coming around, like college people, you know, young backpackers, quote unquote, that kind
spoiled
of shit.
Spoiled brats. We call those spoiled brats.
Yes, yeah, it's very easy to pick those out of a crowd.
So a typical day in Nicaragua, what time does the Tonya drinking commence exactly? When is it okay to just pop that first Tonya since it's like you're on vacation?
Are you talking about for me? For the people who live here.
No, I'm talking about for you. I'm not talking about the people that live here.
Well, for me, I still try to stick to, I don't crack it open till 5 o'clock. But there's a time shift here. So, for this show,
it's
I crack it open
5
at 4.
O'clock yet.
Right, yeah. It's just now turning 5 o'clock here, whereas in Texas, it's almost 6 o'clock. But, I'm still desperately trying to stick to just drinking, starting at 5 until my body gives up. But, you know, when you're doing shit like shopping in the grocery store and there's dudes walking around drinking a beer, it's quite influential.
I want to be honest with you, too. If you're in a store where people are drinking beer and walking around and you don't have a beer, you're pretty much a dickhead.
Yeah, I got a feeling it's probably some kind of insult, even to, like, the store.
Right. They're like
this guy
hey,
doesn't feel comfortable enough to drink in here.
Right. Too good to drink a beer in our store, American guy? What the fuck?
That's right.
So do the locals drink Tonya too, or do they drink something else, something fancier like Tonya Gold?
No, they all seem to drink Tonya, and there's another one that's comparable called Victoria. And then there's a rum that's made here called Flor de Caña, which I'm not a rum guy, but I think it's actually like a, you know, a big rum even beyond here, but it's produced here. So you see that around a lot.
If you had to ballpark it, how much would you say that a six-pack or a liter of Tona would cost?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just trying to give our listeners an idea. $2?
Oh, yeah. Less than $2.
Less than a buck?
I'll say a buck, just to be safe. I'll find out and get back to you because I know it's important for our fan base.
Right. That's the kind of stuff they want to know. This is the hard-hitting question. So are you even going to bother with the car, or is that something that you just figured you don't even need anymore?
Maybe in the future, after we move out of here and get like a real home or something somewhere. We don't really see the need it here because, like I said, there's places within walking distance of no matter where you are to get some stuff. And, like, the major grocery stores, La Colonia and La Union, are right next door to each other. And they're not exactly close, but a taxi. There's fucking taxis all over the place, dude. They're swarming with taxis. So you can just step out and stick up your hand and you'll get a taxi. And you can go anywhere in the city for 50 cents. So
what?
There's really no need. Yeah.
Yeah, no need to have a car, obviously.
Right. Yeah, so
now,
we can get a taxi.
Can you take a rickshaw?
They have, not rickshaws, not human-powered ones, but they do have horse-drawn carriages that you can take.
Now, is that something that just the tourists do, or do like the regulars, would they take a horse-drawn carriage ride?
It seems like most of them are for tourists. You know, they're all dolled up and got bows in their hair and stuff. But I have seen a few walking around that just look like they have people needing to get someplace. We haven't taken one yet.
No, you haven't taken one yet?
Nope, not yet.
So you weren't at all scared when this guy comes up to you and asks you if you want to go for a boat ride? That didn't scare you?
No, he was part of a company. It was like a tourist company that's there. They have their whole thing set up in the corner of the square. Yeah, he had his credentials. They were stitched onto his shirt.
Right, yeah. Something he found at Goodwill, probably.
No, he was a nice guy. His name was Douglas. He was very nice.
Was Douglas his real name, or is Douglas a name he uses for tourists?
That's a good question. That's really a good question. He may be so savvy at marketing that he knows people will respond better if he uses a name like Douglas.
Right, exactly. Douglas is a respectable. He's not going by Doug. He's not like shady. He's like Douglas. Hey, Douglas is a stand-up guy. I mean, he uses his whole name.
That's right.
So how long before, I mean, are you guys looking for a place to live, or how long you got in this place that you're at right now? This is your rental.
We got 6 months.
So how much does it cost to have a sleep-in security guard for 6 months?
It was included in the rent. We just opted not to because I just don't want some dude sleeping in our living room.
Really? It was included in the rent? It wasn't even extra?
No.
Wow. That's pretty weird. Just seems like it would be extra. I mean, to have a guy there all the time, you got to get the guy paid.
Well, they assume because like most people that stay here are retired people from, you know, the states, they're nurses
right.
And shit. So they err on the side of they're going to need one anyway. So I mean, we're paying for it in the rent. They're just getting paid this time.
Well, that's cool. I mean, obviously, that's I can understand why you would think that'd be a little creepy for sure.
Yeah.
Well, in all, sounds like it's all good down there.
Yeah, so far so good. I wish I had more interesting stories, but I don't.
Hey, we're happy with what you're telling us. I mean, just interesting to see what happens on the other side of the world. I mean, really, for me, you're on the other side of the world. Yeah, it is. South, pretty much.
It is weird. I've never been out of the country, too. So the climate's a lot like Texas. I don't really feel like I'm anywhere different, you know, other than shit's really cheap. And I swear to God, dude, I think I've lost like 5 pounds just since we've been here because of all the walking. And
right.
I haven't been. Yeah, it's crazy. It's weird.
Well, it sounds like you're eating good, though, at least.
Yeah, the restaurants are fucking ridiculous near us. I haven't had a bad meal, and every meal I've had, I've just raved about. Now,
so,
I haven't gone. Do what?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I haven't gone down to. We went through the market, which is like every day or every weekend, the entire like two streets shut down, and these people set up all their booths and shit. And it's really like, we walked through it to get to a place once, and it really is like some fucking Indiana Jones crazy ass shit that you see on TV with just people fucking selling every fucking thing in the world. And it's not exactly the cleanest looking joint on the planet. So, you know, we haven't eaten out of something like that yet, but, it was interesting walking through there. I mean, it's like you think of, like I said, you know, Indiana Jones walking through some weird scene in India, and it's third worldish.
Where you can hear like there's like a million background sounds with like people yelling and like mm-hmm. birds chirping and shit like that.
Birds chirping and, you know, dogs running around and kids and motorcycles like zipping through the fucking alleyways and shit. And we bought a backpack there, and that was about it.
How long before you get to the cocaine island?
That's a good question. I don't even know where it is in relation to here. What did you say they were called? Blue Field or something?
I thought it was like Blue Island or Blue, yeah, something like that. I know it was Blue.
Okay, I'll look it up.
So tell me about technology in Nicaragua.
So far, so good. I mean, I've had no – the internet at the bed and breakfast was spotty just because it was the B&B was connected to the cafe that they own. And so I was really signing into the Wi-Fi for their cafe, which was like on the other side of a brick wall. So the speed was good. It was just the Wi-Fi wasn't reliable. But here at the house so far, it's you know, I just watched a movie on Netflix a few minutes ago, so there's no issue with that. Every room here has a flat-screen TV and a DVD player. Electricity's fine. Water runs. So
pressure good? All the creature comforts. Pressure good?
Water pressure, it depends on where you're at. Like, the kitchen tap is not that great, but the shower that I use is good. The idea of hot water is not fully grasped here. You can turn it on hot and it'll get kind of warm, but it's definitely not hot. But honestly, it's so muggy out here, and if you spend all day walking around doing shit, it actually kind of feels good to take a coldish shower.
So now if you are looking for a house, where do you look for a house? Around Granada, or are you planning on moving to another part of Nicaragua?
I don't know. That's a whole other process we'll have to kick off in a couple of months, I guess. But when we were talking to the property manager of this place, who's this old Japanese guy, who was super fucking cool, by the way, very nice. He actually lives in this town called Masaya that's, I don't know, about 30 or 40 minutes away. And he said that town is really nice and there's not a lot of tourists. He said it's very quiet, very good for retirees and that kind of type. And I'm cool with that. I kind of like to lay low. You know, I'll do my partying on my own.
So, I had a good question there. You've obviously been writing some music because I heard the song that you did. I don't know if that was yesterday you wrote that song?
Yeah, that was the first time I've been able to really kind of break out my guitar. And my wife is gone. She's been gone since yesterday. So she had to go back and grab a kid. So it was really the first time I got to sit down and not just kind of strum on it absentmindedly, but try to do something. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah, no, it turned out great. Looks like you're nice and relaxed down there, having your wife left, so you got a little time to soak it all in, so to speak.
Yes, and I'm going to see if I can find an escort tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's the scene like that down there? I'm sure there's a few listeners out there that'd be interested in knowing what the seedier side of Granada is like.
It's available. I don't know where to find it, but when you're on the strip at night, you can see the guys with, you know, chicks that are obviously temporary, but I'm not sure, you know, where, what dark alleys you got to wander down and talk to. But yeah, it's around here. So if you're that kind of person and you're in that mindset, I'm sure you can figure it out pretty quickly once you get here.
Cliff can hook you up, is what he's saying. Hook him up.
Yeah, I'm your guy.
Hook him up. You look him up for the hookup. So I've been keeping in touch with other family. I'm sure you're sick of the 8 million questions that I've been giving you tonight, but I'm interested to find out what's going on down there in Granada.
I've been in touch with my folks because they were looking after our kids, so we were talking to them every night. Everybody else I know, like aunts and uncles and cousins, they all want to come and hang out at some point over the next 6 months, and of course they and my buddy Zigzag are absolutely welcome to.
I appreciate it. We actually looked into the airfare. The airfare is pretty spendy. Not so much for the
I hear a lot of noise, like scraping noise. Is that you or me?
I don't know. I don't hear anything.
Really?
Still hear it?
No, I think I have to shorten my headphones.
I
unplugged them and put them back in, and now it's fine.
Oh, okay. I blew your headphones right out of the computer.
Well, I unplugged them, and I can still hear it. Damn.
So you can hear
you
or you cannot hear? I can hear you, yes.
Yeah, I'm still getting something. It's not that bad.
Well, no big deal. I mean, if you're having technical difficulties.
No, it seems to have subsided. Maybe it was my headphones. I don't know.
So let's talk about Hypersloth a little bit. I updated that picture on the thing. I don't know. I thought it looked decent. You could kind of see that he had a bottom half there. I'm talking about the drawing of the guy, the Hypersloth guy.
Yes.
So,
not a big
one. You kind of can put that guy anywhere, really. His hands are in a kind of a different kind of spot.
Yeah, good job taking that table and keyboard out. How did you do that? Because honestly, I tried and gave up.
No, I do it the most rudimentary way possible. You know, people are always using masks and shit like that. I'm like, I'm not about a mask. I just create a layer and use the select tool. And it takes a little while, but it's way more effective than trying to fucking use brushes and shit to do that, if you ask me.
Okay, good. I'm kind of the same way. Whenever I, like, want to do something in Photoshop, and as soon as I start talking about masks and other fucking weird shit, I'm out. I'll just be like, I'm gonna get the eraser and do it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm exactly with you. And a guy that works for me is totally the other way, and it's so frustrating to watch him like do all that shit. I'm like, why are you wasting so much time? I mean, you know,
let's create
a layer on top of a layer, and then, you know, let's do like 9 layers to cut out like one little part of a picture that would take like 10 seconds otherwise.
Yeah. My last job.
But I do. I work with some of these guys too that they do like the construction drawings for brochures, right? Like all full color, 3D looking stuff, and they'll have like 150 fucking layers of shit on there.
God damn.
I shit you not. Like 100 layers at least.
My computer would just explode.
My head would explode, Cliff. I can't, like, I have 2 or 3 layers and I'm like done. I'm like, fuck this. There's got to be a better way to do this.
Yeah, that's true. Whenever I was doing some graphic design work for my last gig, I would get up to the point of having like 20 layers and would become so fucking frustrating just trying to remember what layer was what. Even if you name them, I mean, it just gets to a point where it's like, fucking really?
Yeah, when you can't think of a name for a layer, it's time to just call it quits.
Yes.
Or when you repeat the name for a layer, then you're sad.
Right.
Or I don't know if you've ever done this. I've actually named layers like fuck and shit and fuck up.
I have done that.
You know,
I've done that with like recording music too. Yeah.
You know you're doing quality work when you're just throwing fucking shit into layer things. And that's how you, like, remember. That's where the ones that you remember where they are. You're like, I remember this fucking shit layer that, you know, you try to do, like, 5 times. And so your wife got – that's quite a turn that she pulled then. I mean, she wasn't there long at all.
No. Boy, she had a rough time. She lost her passport.
What?
And her flight. Yeah, she lost her passport the night before she was supposed to fly back. And her flight left at 7 a.m. in Managua, so the driver was picking her up at like 4. And so she had no passport. So the driver picked her up, took her to the airport, and she had copies. She had photocopies, and they're like, no, that's not going to work. So then this driver must be the coolest dude on the fucking planet. Fucking waited for her to deal with the airport, then drove her all the way to the American Embassy and waited for her to get a temporary, like, emergency passport and for them to cancel the other passport. And then drove her all the way back to the fucking airport. And her flight back was like 27 hours because of layovers and shit, because she missed her flight. So they were
we'll
put you in whenever we can. So she left yesterday. She left the B&B yesterday at 4 a.m. She got back to Austin at like 10 a.m. today.
Oh, fuck. Now, how long? She's not turning around and coming right back right now, is she?
She's coming back tomorrow. She leaves the U.S. at 5 p.m.
Dude, her brain is going to be fried. I bet she was in a good mood today.
Yeah, she better keep that shit inside, because I'm not going to tolerate any fucking bitching.
And you shouldn't, my friend.
That's right. I've been holding down the fort, drinking Tonya and kicking back.
Fuck, I mean, you know, it's not like you got a guy there sleeping on your floor or something. You got, you know.
We don't have a security guard. Who else is going to do it? Me.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're dependent on you. She's at your mercy right now.
That's right. She better tread lightly.
So the dogs are coming. That should be quite a trek. I mean, how do they ship a dog to Nicaragua, Rufus?
Well, actually, it turns out that's another wrinkle. One of the dogs can come. The small dog, which can be counted as a carry-on and can go like on the plane with her, can come. The bigger dog, which is not Pitsky size but little dog size, has to be shipped. If it's cargo, which is going to cost like, you know, almost $1,000, so we're leaving that dog behind until like another week or so.
So for just one more week, or just some other time?
Well, hopefully just a week.
Right.
You know, luckily my sister-in-law is going to be living in our house, and she doesn't have a problem taking care of the dog. But I don't want the dog to forget who I am.
Right. So, have you Levi stoked to come? Is he a good flyer?
Levi can't come either. He's counted as cargo, so he's going to have to stay at home and probably outside with the other dog.
Well,
he's counted as a carry-on.
Is he?
But he has to stay. Yeah, he has to stay under the seat, though.
Would he feed under the seat back in front of him?
Yes. Yeah. Or in the overhead. All right. You'd probably like it in the overhead. The overhead? It's kind of like a tent.
Probably be more comfortable.
Yeah, probably everybody else on the plane would be too.
I'm sure.